Welcome to the HJ Talks About Abuse podcast, the podcast where we talk about sexual abuse cases in the hope that it will assist listeners in openly discussing topics which have been ignored for too long. This podcast is brought to you by the abuse team at Hugh James. We are lawyers, so we tend to speak about the legal aspects of abuse cases, but we aren't too shy to speak up about the broader issues faced by survivors of sexual abuse too. We hope that you find it interesting, but more than that, if you are a survivor of sexual abuse, we hope that you find our discussion empowering. Hello, podcast listeners. I'm Alan Collins, and I'm joined by my colleague, Felina. Hi, Felina.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for having me again.
Pleasure. Thank you for joining me. And in this podcast, we're going to be talking about abuse in sport and civil claims. And I think it was your idea, Felina, to talk about sport and abuse in sport. And I think this was in the wake of the publication of the US Department of State's Trafficking in Persons 2020 report.
Yes, so I know that we do have a previous podcast on abuse, which obviously our listeners are welcome to go back to and listen.
To do with sport, obviously, yeah.
To do with sport. But you drew this report to my attention, and it appeared to be quite a good example of what is discussed in the report. And the sport really shows just the layperson how the issues mentioned in the report apply.
And I think it's because it's the report highlights that modern day slavery exists, and it exists in places where you would never imagine that it would exist. For example, sport. Who would have thought that slavery could exist in sport? But according to this 2020 US State Department report, it does.
Yes, exactly.
And how does that come about? How on earth can you get slavery in sport?
So really, the best way to address that is by a common example. And this would be perhaps a sports agent, a scout, a coach who gets to know through some way or another a poor family. They may be working through a school or something like that, an extracurricular program. And they find a fairly poor family, a child that perhaps hasn't got much support in terms of family. And they really draw not only that child in, but the family in as well, by promises of money, of fame, of a career, you know, giving your child and your family a direction that they would never have dreamed of before.
So basically what happens is the so-called scout, coach, whatever it is you want to call them, lures a child, a young person, a young lad, say, or maybe a young girl, away from the family with the promise of a career, maybe with a football club, for example, and they want money. So they're sort of saying to the family, if you give me X thousand dollars, I can get your son stroke daughter into ABC football club.
Yes. And as anyone can imagine, a lot of sports, especially at a young age, if you are looking to have a career, it requires a lot of time and hours and effort. And so that abuser has a perfect excuse to have a lot of time, responsibility, one-on-one time with that child.
So it seems to me as though there's several strands to all of this that come to play. So there's a child, a young person being, say, lured away from their family. The family hand over money to this person who is essentially, as I see it, a trafficker. The young person, the family, are sort of beholden to the trafficker because the trafficker has gone and promised this sort of career. And so the young person effectively becomes the property of the trafficker. And I guess if the young person does genuinely have potential, then there's lucrative rewards for the trafficker stroke scout. And of course, it can get even more sinister in that, you know, the young person may end up being sexually exploited, sexually abused, or abused in some other way because they become effectively the property of the criminal mastermind or the criminal operative who is behind all of this.
Yeah, and often the family do not have their own resources, so they're stuck and they may not realise, you know, that this is exploitation.
No, you know, and of course, they, in a perverse way, become dependent on the criminal, on the trafficker, because this young person is maybe their ticket out of poverty.
Yeah.
You know, the young person may be the person who is going to provide them with an income and a more practical sort of level. You know, the young person is dependent on the trafficker for possibly food, shelter, etc. So there's an all-round dependency.
Yeah, and even more so than that, with more established traffickers, perhaps, they would get the children to sign in to contracts. So it's not just the basic food, water, I'm going to get a career out of this. It is, I have signed a very bad contract that would result in them owing, you know, X amount and ruining whatever chances they have currently.
So, yes, you know, they become not just dependent on the criminal, but also beholden to them because they have signed a contract. Obviously, you know, if this young person does have potential and starts earning money, it may be that the so-called scout is able to cipher off some of that money, if not all of it.
Exactly. And they target individuals where they think they can get away with these just awful terms.
So it's quite astonishing that this is happening in 2020. And it seems to me as though it's sort of happening under our noses and something needs to be done about it.
Mm. Well, in the report that you mentioned earlier, it quoted that it's estimated there are 15,000 human trafficking victims each year in the soccer industry. So that isn't sport as a whole. That's not each country. That is just Europe's soccer. Is 15,000 individuals being trafficked each year.
How they've arrived at that number, I do not know. And, you know, but it is a US State Department report. So one assumes that, you know, it's been researched very carefully. But whatever the figure, the research shows that in all corners of the world, so to speak, and in all sorts of different areas of life, this problem of trafficking, slavery, coercive labour exists, it's happening, and young people are being caught up in it and being exploited in the most terrible ways.
It really shows that there's not enough prevention.
Yes, I think, well, not just not enough prevention, I think there's a lack of knowledge, and I think it's down to governments to raise public awareness and for governments actually to say, well, actually, there needs to be a lot more monitoring and regulation of sport so that, you know, the risks of trafficking and exploitation can be at least minimised and at best eradicated.
Yes, it's about detection, prevention and eradication.
Yeah, I think education is also important there because I just don't think the general public fully understands or appreciates that this tragic problem exists and it isn't a, you know, a one-off. Mm-hmm. It is an extensive problem, and I think it's down to government and the sport industry, those who regulate sport, to do something about it and ensure that there's a lot more monitoring and regulation.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I think also there needs to be a good dose of sunlight shone on all of this because sunlight is a very powerful disinfectant. I think a lot more needs to be revealed so that we all know what is going on. Anyway, so, and of course, as we touched upon in a previous podcast, the psychological consequences for the individuals involved, the young people involved, are profound because they are subject potentially to what is known as trauma bonding, which is this psychological dependency on those who are controlling them, manipulating them, and so on, because they are so, as you've explained, Felina, so dependent for careers at one level, maybe food, shelter and safety at another.
Yes, it's not just the average person looking to become a famous footballer. It's individuals that really don't have anything. So they are just, when you think about dependent, it is the most dependent you can imagine, these children.
And for them, it sounds as though it's going to be a situation that is very difficult to escape from. And if they do escape from it, they're not going to escape harm-free.
And as you said, you know, with knowledge and understanding, they need people around them that may see exploitation, understand and flag up if you see this happening.
Indeed. Well, on that profound note, thank you, Felina. Thank you, podcast listeners. Thank you for listening to us. And please do join us in our next podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of HJ Talks About Abuse. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favourite podcast player. If you'd like to speak to us about something you've heard today, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at aboutabuse@hjtalks.co.uk.